Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10. Prahlad, the best amongst the exalted, among the exalted devotees, text number 9. Vimuchiti yada kaman manava manasi stitan taryeva pundarikaksha bhagavat tvaya kalpate vimuchiti gives up yada whenever kaman, all material desires. Manava, human society. Manasi, within the mind. Stitan, situated. Tarhi, at that time only. Eva, indeed. Pundariksha Aksha, O lotus-eyed Lord, Bhagavatvaya, to be equally as opulent as the Lord. Kalpate becomes eligible. O my Lord, when a human being is able to give up all the material desires within in his mind, he becomes eligible to possess wealth and opulence like yours. Purport. Atheistic men sometimes criticize a devotee by saying, if you do not want to take any benediction from the Lord, and if the servant of the Lord is as opulent as the Lord himself, why do you ask for the benediction of being engaged as the Lord's servant? Sridhara Swami comments, Bhagavat Samana Ashvaraya. Bhagavatva, becoming as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, does not mean becoming one with Him or equal to Him. Although in the spiritual world, the servant is equally as opulent as the Master. The servant of the Lord is engaged in the service of the Lord as a servant, friend, father, mother, or a conjugal lover. All of whom are equally as opulent as the Lord. This is Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. The master and servant are different, yet equal in opulence. This is the meaning of simultaneously difference from the Supreme Lord and oneness with Him. Vimuchati yada kaman manava manasi stita taryeva pundarikaksha bhagavatvaya kalpate. O my Lord, when a human being is able to give up all the material desires in his mind, he becomes eligible to possess wealth and opulence like yours. And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Nadate kasichit papam, na papam sikritim vibhu, agyane navritam jnana, tena muyanti chantava. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the nescience which covers their real knowledge. Or in the previous verse, Krishna says, Sarva karmani manasa, sanyas yaste sukham vasi, naiva dware pare dehi, naiva korva nikarya. When the embodied soul is able to renounce the fruits of his activities, neither working nor causing work to be done, he lives happily in the city of nine gates. Material body. In other words, our entanglement is due to the fact that we're attached to material desires. Now the living entity has to become attached to something because we're only 1/10,000th the size of Tippi here in size, not extremely large. And therefore, to think ourselves to be what that 1/10,000th the size of Tippi here in size is going to become independent is rather ludicrous. How is it possible something so tiny can become independent? So either we become dependent on material existence or we become dependent on spiritual existence. Now, in material existence, the living entity's dependency upon matter is just illusory because the living entity has no relationship with the material energy other than desiring to be placed in a particular situation, the material existence, and trying to enjoy it through his consciousness. Just like the sun may be in one place and illuminates the entire universe with consciousness, with sunlight, but the sun is not directly in contact with anything that its sunlight is illuminating. Similarly, our cells in the body were aloof from material existence, natate kashchit papam, or anaditvam niagunadvat paramatmayam avyam. Sharira stopikondiya nakaroti na lipite. That those who could actually see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is eternal, transcendental, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, or Arjuna, the soul is neither entangled nor is he doing anything. Of course, our false ego doesn't allow us to so easily understand that, because we actually believe that I am this body and I'm doing so many things and I'm the cause of so many different activities. We don't see ourselves as simply desiring, and the quality of desire determines what our experience is. If we desire to be put in a particular material circumstance, then we get a material experience in the one of the three modes of nature. And if we desire to add Krishna to the experience, then it may be a similar activity, but we become added, our consciousness adds Krishna to it, or Krishna adds himself to our consciousness, and the result is that it's a whole different experience. It goes from what's called material, which is one of the three modes of nature, to the spiritual, which means Krishna conscious. Now, what is material opulence? People, it's just an imagination. After all, even the scientists say that 99.9% of what we're seeing is just space. So we may imagine I have a whole bunch of space that belongs to me, but after all, it's space. There's not much to it. Similarly, to imagine that we're the proprietors of so many things in this world, but what are the things in this world? If we were the proprietor, then we should be able to be controlling these things. But since we can't stop it from changing, and due to the external influence, it may change quicker than we think. It might be someone may come and destroy it, it may break down, fire may start, so many different things. And my whole conception that this is mine is eliminated because it doesn't exist anymore. Similarly, this body, which we hold as the basis of proprietorship, because without a body, it's very hard to claim that you're a proprietor of anything. If you don't have a body, there's nothing to control anything with. Even this body is so temporary, it's always changing. Our five-year-old body didn't have much to possess, maybe a bicycle or something. And where is that bicycle now? And even if we had the bicycle, what could we do with it? We probably couldn't even fit into it. And yet it's disappeared. And our body will also disappear. And therefore all our opulence will also disappear. We may be a multi-billionaire now, but shortly, within so many years, I'll have to leave this body. And if I become a mouse in that billionaire's house, then what would be the value of my billions of dollars that I had for me? Zero. Prabhupada gives the example of one very greedy person and miserly person who was very wealthy. But he left his body and he took birth in a nearby house as a cobbler. Later on he grew up and tried to sell shoes in the house of his former house where he was a wealthy person. But his sons came out and took the shoes and beat him with them. So he thought he was so wealthy and opulent, and the result is that he got beaten by his own shoes. So similarly, we're imagining that we're the proprietors, we identify ourselves with this land, with a family, whatever else, but shortly we'll be in a different place, in a different circumstance. Only if we actually become in contact with Krishna can we enjoy like Krishna through spiritual senses. Spiritual existence is real, is actually, and blissful, but it requires a certain type of mentality to experience it. In other words, if we go to the spiritual world with the idea of lording it over, that this is my Chintamani house, that this is my group and this other group is bad, I don't like anything, I just like my group, we're in the wrong place. It's not the mentality that gives us the eligibility to be in the spiritual world. Spiritual world, everything is open and free, spontaneously, and there is no animosity or envy there. Even what appears to be animosity or envy is actually just part of the pastimes to further Krishna's pleasure. Other than that, with the proper mentality, one can go there. One is not concerned with being the proprietor of anything because it makes no difference. One is simply experiencing the fact that one is a servant of all living entities there, all Krishna and all his associates. So where is the question of being the proprietor of anything? But in that state, one is given all the facility to serve Krishna. Just like here, if we're in the proper mentality, then Krishna reciprocates and gives us all opportunity to serve him even here. Now we may imagine that by my activities, by my good deeds, by my strength, by my prowess, by my intelligence, I'm getting so many things. But actually, for a devotee, these things are arranged by Krishna for his service. For the non-devotee, whatever he's getting, if he's not utilizing Krishna's service, will simply cause problems for him in the future. The more you have, the more problems you'll get. In the Bhagavatam it says, if a king has a heavy crown, but he doesn't use it to bow down before the personality of Godhead, then his heavy crown will simply serve to sink him deeper into the material existence. So although people are envious, they want other people's property, they want other people's positions, they want so many different things because people are not satisfied with what they have, because what they have is just illusory. Just a bunch of material energy in the form of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, constantly changing, appearing in different forms, some desirable and some undesirable. And the result is that we're constantly, our minds are hankering, lamenting, and the result is we're simply becoming more and more entangled in the material conception of life. But if one is someone like Prahlad Maharaj, and realizing that real opulence is love for Krishna, that the soul cannot be happy or secure unless he's engaged in devotional service. And if he's engaged in devotional service either here in the material world or in the spiritual world, then his position is perfect. And whatever he receives can be utilized in Krishna's service, and therefore is not the cause of botheration. Is a cause of inspiration to serve Krishna even more. And of course we know in this age, the main thing is to utilize our energies in distributing Krishna consciousness, parashparam, to get to each other and to the innocent people. And there's, if we do that, then there's nothing more to worry about. Then our lives will become better, at least, and we'll be able to do something good for ourselves and good, do something good for others. Then if we go, if we see in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gop Kumara goes back to Vaikuntha, he goes to Vaikuntha, and there waiting on the gates of Vaikuntha, to enter into Vaikuntha, he sees endless varieties of devotees of Krishna entering. Some of them with huge families, and before they enter, they put all their family into their own body and then enter together in their spiritual body. Some of them appear to be Narayan. And Gop Kumara bows down before them, thinking that this is surely Narayan. And the devotee covers his ear and say, Vishnu, Vishnu, I'm not Narayan, I'm the servant of the servant. and enters into Vaikuntha. Gop Kumara is still waiting there. Another devotee comes 10 times more opulent than the previous one, and Gop Kumara thinks, this is surely Narayan. Offs obeisances, saying, Narayan, you know, save me. He said, I'm not Narayan, I'm the servant of Narayan, Vishnu, Vishnu. And this goes on while he's waiting to gain entrance into Vaikuntha. So many devotees are coming with all kinds of mystic powers and entourages and different degrees of opulence. But all of them are the same. They're all serving Narayan in a different way. They're not attached to whatever opulence they display. They just display different kinds of opulences in order to please Narayan. Otherwise, they have no thought whether I'm more opulent or less opulent. Here in the material world, out of envy, we judge everything externally, and we're not so much worried about consciousness. You can be so-called successful in the material world and be a rogue. And you can be a great, saintly person, and if you're not materially, externally successful, then people think you're a failure. Because they have no idea what success and failure is. They judge everything by the external energy, and therefore they're always hankering, lamenting for things which are desirable and undesirable, and they're getting nowhere, but just going from one illusory energy to the next. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Pashan api na pashyati. Even people can see, they can't see. Even we can see. We forget that we're eternal, we're not this body, that Krishna is in control of everything, and therefore we get caught up in the temporary miseries and happiness of the material world. As the modes of material nature change, we think, oh, society is making progress, or society is suffering, or this or that. But actually, people are just getting their karma. So that if they get good karma, then they can utilize in Krishna's service. And if they have bad karma, they can wake up and realize that this is not the place they're supposed to be. And maybe they can change their activities so that they can come to a more peaceful state, be able to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness a little bit more clearly. Any questions, comments?
Yes, there was a question 2 weeks ago. Someone asked how to, if we have a desire to be recognized, how to utilize this in Krishna service?
Well, do devotional service, be recognized by Krishna. We should know who we should be recognized by. If someone in the material world recognizes you, so what? They can't even see you. You're actually 1/10,000th the size of tip here in size. So it would be nice if someone could see you, but they can't. All they can see is your external activities, which have nothing to do with you. So to be someone to recognize your illusory activities, what is the value? And even if there's engaged in Krishna's service, who are they actually recognizing? It's Krishna's internal energy who's doing the activities. We falsely claim some kind of credit for what the spiritual energy is doing. All we can do is take shelter of Krishna and his representatives, and we dovetail our desires with them, and Krishna manifests spiritual activities, then we'll get free from our illusory consciousness. And if we want to take credit for it, then we'll simply be an illusion. So better to see things as they actually are, and then we won't be so much attached to taking false credit for things we're not even doing. Anything else? Yes. The only thing we should be happy is an opportunity to do service. If we have some opportunity to do service, then we're there's a possibility of becoming conscious of Krishna while we're doing that service. Other than that, if we're trying to do something outside of Krishna consciousness, then we're just wasting our time. Yes.
Hare Krishna. How come that we are still hold, even as devotees, we still hold for material desires, although here is such an amazing offering, statement that...
Because devotees don't have material desires. Who said we were devotees? What are we devoted to? We're actually devoted to Krishna, we wouldn't have any material desires. We have a little bit, we're practicing to become devoted to Krishna. We're practicing so that Krishna will be kind enough to gradually reveal himself to us and we'll get to know Krishna. Bhakti mama vijanati yavin chasmati tatvaha. Or Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. We're always joyful. That's a good sign. We don't hanker in the men. That's very good. And we see every living entity as Krishna's eternal servant. Then we can begin real devotional service. We can actually become real devotees. Other than that, we're practicing so we can gradually give up our hankering lamentation, our offensive attitude towards other living entities. So we can get rid of our moroseness and our feverish mentality. We can become joyful and begin real devotional service. Although we're given the title devotee, just encourage us. We should try to merit being a devotee by actually doing some devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.